tonight, take your Bibles to 2 Timothy. How many of you are working tomorrow? How many would like to stay home? Good to be able to have the freedom to not have to worry about working. Me and Ethan's got that freedom, don't we, Ethan? Chapter 4 of 2 Timothy. We'll try not to be long tonight. I'll probably not say anything that you haven't heard before. You're not going to get any new, deep, theological Bible lessons. Very practical. That will be helpful if you'll listen, turn your phones off. And if you can be able to stay inside, try not to run outside and come back in. The air is much fresher in here. And I realize that there are some people that has to go. If you would stand with me, please, we'll read a few verses in 2 Timothy chapter 4. I begin to read at verse 13. The Bible says, "The cloak that I left at Troas with Carpus, when thou comest, bring with thee, and the books," but especially the books, the parchments. You read the next verse. "Of whom be thou ware also, for he hath greatly withstood our words." You get the next one. I'll read one, you read one.
"First answer, no man stood with me, but all men forsook me. I pray God that he may not relate to their charge."
"Notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me and strengtheneth me, that by me the preaching might be fully known, and that all the Gentiles might hear. And I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion.
And the Lord shall deliver me from every bad work, and will preserve me into his heavenly kingdom, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen."
"Salute Prisca and Aquila, and the household of Onesiphorus.
Erastus abode at Corinth, but Trophimus have I left in Miletus and sick.
Do thy diligence to come before winter. Eubulus greeteth thee, and Pudence, and Linus, and Claudia, and all the brethren."
"The Lord Jesus Christ is with you. Grace be with you. Amen."
Our Father, we thank you for the privilege of being able once again to gather together and to stand upright and to have your word read. And Lord, knowing that your word is holy, and knowing that, our Father, that it is given to us by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, knowing that it's true, knowing, Father, that there's lessons to be learned, and Lord, that will help us in our earthly life. Help us to prepare for that eternal life, Lord, that you have promised unto those that love you. I pray, our Father, tonight that you would just move and help each one of us to, Lord, draw a little closer to you with a determination that we're not going to leave you nor forsake you. Now, Lord, bless each one that has come tonight, and Lord, I give each one something that, Lord, I do not know how to do it, but you know how to do it. And I trust, Holy Spirit of God, that you would meet the need of each one. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You may be seated. Paul is around 70 years old. He writes this letter in 67 A.D. Paul is imprisoned at Rome. He's down in a dungeon. They say that it's pretty cold and damp. and maybe rat infested. I thought of this when one day this week, I was going down Main Street, and Mike, you might take a note to bring this up in your meeting. Right across from the cinema theater, going across Main Street, was one of the fattest rats I ever saw. I mean, I about hit a car trying to run over it. But it was going over to get a haircut at Brother Todd's, I guess. That's where it was headed. But that's remind me, boy, I'd hate to have to be in bed with a rat like that. And but Paul is writing to young Timothy, and as a preacher, he's an older preacher telling a younger preacher to preach the word. Look down at verse 2. It said, "Preach the word. Be instant in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine." Now, keep in mind that here tonight, I want to talk just about the easy thing is not always the right thing. The easy thing. It's easy to do some things, but it may not be the right thing to do. And Paul is writing to this young preacher boy here that he has called his son in the faith. Paul is down at the end of his life. This is the last letter that he will pen, and that will be in here. And he's dependent to Timothy, and he has encouraged him. There are some things that he wanted him to do. And Timothy, he said, you preach the word in season and out of season, because there is going to be a time when people won't endure sound doctrine, but just keep on preaching anyway. And I like that. Keep in mind that he said, my first answer, no man stood with me, but all men forsook me. And you're going to, oftentimes you're going to see that happen in the ministry. And he's talking to Timothy that he has given him some things. You find it in chapter 1. He talks about, I'll give you four appeal. There's four chapters here. In chapter 1, the pastoral appeal. Faithful in discouraging times. We run into some times, and Paul, no doubt, seemingly that Timothy was having some issues. Paul, right into this young preacher, he had left him at Ephesus, and he has very much a love and a concern for Timothy. Now, it ought to be I had the opportunity to take my Sunday school class to lunch today, and we had a good time, and just looking upon the faces of these young ladies and young men, and wondering what's down 5 years from now, what will happen to them, where will they be, what will be going on in their life, and and so you take here, Paul, in writing, he knows that he's the time of his departure at hand. He said, I have fought a good fight. He's warning Timothy to stay faithful. Stay faithful into that. And if there's one thing that we could try to get across to our young people, is that you're going to have to work through some things that is not going to be easy. It's not going to be easy sometime to stand and to serve God. And but he said the practical things here, there can be discouraging time in your life. Paul in chapter 1, that he talks about this, to know that all they which are in Asia be turned away from me, of whom is Phygillus and Hermogenes. You find Paul as a pastor and in a church, and you look around and just you're going to find how many will be sitting here at this time 5 years from now. I had someone was talking about about coming back. They was too embarrassed and too ashamed to come back to church. And they were concerned about what people may say about them. I said, it's been so long since you've been here. Come on back. Nobody know you anyway. It's a truth. After 20 years, you find that your congregation, not a whole lot of people are around. And so you don't have to maybe worry too much about some things. But anyway, into that, you take, be faithful. How many people that you once sat where you're sitting, that no longer is stay faithful? Something came into their life, into that, and so they did not, Paul said to one place, endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. And that's a hard thing to do. Endure hardness. And you're going to find it's not being easy to be a child of God. This is not your world. You're just passing through. And as you pass through this world in preparation for eternity in heaven, you're going to run into some things. And Paul, writing here, he then told Timothy, he said, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course now. And I look at that in my own life into that and over the battles that, over the years and understanding that what Paul is trying to get across to young Timothy, the battles are going to come and what are you going to do? And there's been preparation. And if you don't make any preparation, you're not going to be around. You're going to be like these that hear that in all in Asia have turned away from me and to that. Oh, it may not be that you have given up and said, I don't believe in the Lord. It may be that you still say, I'm a Christian, you can still be able to say, well, I go to church occasionally, but I'm talking about being a soldier of the Lord Jesus Christ, being one that is going to walk with God, one that is going down from year to year and from month to month and from week to week, and staying faithful to Him. And so into that, I hear this, it's oftentimes Demas, if you look up there in that verse there, you find that Demas, he's done the easy thing. Paul had done the hard thing, and Paul wanted Timothy to do the right thing. And so into that, I'm not preaching about salvation, I'm preaching about service. I'm preaching about here that salvation is not you find hard for a person to do. Anybody can get saved. It is not even easy for, a person doesn't do something to be saved. He believes something to be saved. Into that, and you don't get saved by working up some physical, emotional, or mental state. You are saved by grace through faith, simply in the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we understand salvation. We understand how easy it is to get saved. We understand the things that Mike brought out this morning in how that the blood sacrifice and how that without the shedding of blood there is no remission, and how that you must have that the blood applied to your heart's door. But we know the salvation, the simplicity of it that a young person can understand. It's easier to stop serving God than keeping on going for the Lord. And so Timothy, he said, I fought the good fight. And, he said that here Demas has forsaken me. And you find that Paul had finished his course and Demas had quit. Paul had did the hard thing, but Demas did the easy thing. You know, the easy thing to do is what a world of people done this morning. The easy thing to do is to, I'll turn the TV on and I'll watch a live stream. Man, I tell you what, nobody likes to get up early in the morning and take a shower. Nobody likes to have to worry about their hair being messed up. Nobody has to worry about having to, well, is my clothes pressed? Is my shoes shine? And I have to get into this. It's the easy thing to do is just to flop down on the couch, throw a pillow under your head, kind of kick back a little bit. Now, come on, preacher, move me if you can. And then, boy, I tell you, most of the time, the only thing you can do is move you from side to side under that. You're not going to move you to get out and to say maybe to do something. But he said here, it's easier to quit the race than it is to keep going. It's easier to quit when you are tired. I love this verse here. Isaiah 40:31 says, but they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. Being tired. You ever get tired? Brian gets tired all the time. He works as many hours as anybody. Jimmy don't do nothing. Sit around. Maybe you let Nicole feed him and babysit. But you don't get too, one of the things, you get tired of different things. You may not be so tired physically, but you may get tired just coming in and going to making the preparations to go to Kroger. How many of you get tired of going to Kroger? I bet not as much as you get tired of coming to church. I bet it's easier to go to Kroger than it is to church, isn't it? But you've got to be careful. If you're going to stay in the race, if you're going to be faithful to God, you've got to be careful about getting tired. I get tired of Sunday school. I get tired of hearing what Mike is going to say every Sunday. I get tired of hearing what Brother Brad is going to be speaking about. I get tired about seeing so-and-so and knowing that, it's just something that I could do without. So I think I'll stay home today. Oh, I know. I told the preacher I was coming. I know but I'm tired. I've been working. Steve works all the time too. On that, every time I call him, he done run 5 miles, worked and done, put in 2 or 3 days of work and sweat just to pouring off him. But when I see him, he looks all real refreshed. I don't know if you see he's being honest or not. But it's easy to quit when you are tired. It's easy to quit when you're troubled. You get troubled by financial problems. You take your younger folks into that, as we talked to them today. What do you know about borrowing money? If you go to borrowing money, what kind of interest rate do you know to get? What's the interest? Do you know you got to pay interest if you borrow money?
Right.
You'd be surprised how many 16, 18-year-old kids don't know that. You'd be surprised how many into that, they get into, well, I'd like to have a car. Well, what kind of interest rate you want to pay? Well, they'll finance it for me. Oh, yeah, they sure will. They'll finance it for you, hit you for about 20% interest. You run into that. You're going to be, time you get that car paid off, it's going to be not worth half what you paid for it. What I'm saying is that you got to be careful about your finances. You got a world of people today don't want to go to church because they can't give. I don't want to go to church. I can't tithe. Why? Because they have not been good stewards of what God has given. God teaches us that we are to be good stewards of our income that He allows to come in. And into that, your first 10%, regardless of whether you like it or whether you don't, as a child of God, I love God. I want to be obedient to God. Are you listening, Josh? Are you listening? First 10% you got any money this week? Nobody gave you a dollar? Okay. How about you, Ella? They have parents that are really being mean to you kids. You get a dollar, 10 cents of that belongs to God, doesn't it? But we get into some things here, putting God first in our lives. And that sometimes is hard to do. Family problems. You get trouble when you have family problems. And boy, I tell you, nothing will discourage you. Nothing will get you down than having family trouble. Children not maybe doing what you'd like, fussing and fighting with one another. Oh, my soul, into that. As a child of God, you find that there's things that you have to give up. Have you learned that, Andrew? Have you learned to have to give up? You shaved, didn't you? Well, bless your heart. She make you do that. But you have to give up some things. I'm my own man. Yeah, you're going to be your own man. I'm not talking about Andrew. I'm talking about the average person. I'm going to be my own man. I'll do what I want to do. And woman, if you don't like it, you can lump it. Well, she'll lump it right down the road to somewhere else. You've got to learn as a child of God, husband, you are to love your wives, whether you like it or whether you don't. You say, well, I don't like her. Well, love her. You made the choice and nobody made it for you. You took her. Now you do something. You go ahead and love her. Well, she's not what she used to be. Well, you're not either. But can I say to us, we are troubled in financial problems. We are troubled with family problems and my fellowship problems between one another as a Christian. Have you ever get troubled because of your fellowship with somebody in the church? Huh. You mean you went home today and nobody gave you any trouble in your fellowship? Everybody shook your hand? Everybody smiled at you? Everybody said something nice about you? I'll get into something else here in a minute. But can I say to you, be careful when you are troubled that you're going to be, the easy thing to do is to quit. The easy thing to do is to not pray. Not care about your fellow man. not care about your church. I could care less if I don't just never fold. I'll just go down the road to another one. Yeah, you can. I don't know if we were talking the other day. We were sharing that. We said, well, you know, if we didn't go here, where would we go? And I don't know. We'd have to go out of town. Start another one. Go down on the corner, start another one, Jimmy. Paul said here, you talk about a guy facing trouble. He said in 2 Corinthians 11:24, he said, of the Jews, 5 times received I 40 stripes, say one. Thrice was I beaten. Now, keep in mind, Paul is writing to a young Christian here in 2 Timothy. But he's writing to the church at Corinth, and he's going through some things here that he has had to go through. He said, I was beaten with rods. Once was I stoned. Thrice I suffered shipwreck. A night and a day I have been in the deep, in journeyings often, in peril of the water, in peril of the robbers, in peril by mine own countrymen, in peril by the heathen, in peril by the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, weariness and painfulness. Watch it often, hunger, thirst, and fast it often, in cold and nakedness, beside those things that are without, that which cometh upon me daily, the care of all the churches. Who is weak? And I am not weak. Who is offended? And I burn not. If I must need glory, I will glory in the things which concern mine infirmities. The God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which is blessed forevermore, knoweth that I lie not. In Damascus, the governor under Artaeus, the king, kept the city of Damascus with a garrison, desirous to apprehend me. And through a window in a basket was I let down by the wall and escaped his hands. It is not expedient for me to doubtless to glory. I will come to visions and revelations of the Lord. I knew a man in Christ about 14 years ago. Whether in the body, I cannot tell. Unto that God knoweth. In that, whether out of the body, I cannot tell. God knoweth. Such as one called up into the third heaven. And I knew such a man. Whether in the body or out, I cannot tell. But God knoweth. How that he was caught up into paradise and heard and unspeakable words which it is not lawful for man to utter. Just stop and think on that verse. Unspeakable words. Paul heard words that he cannot speak. It's unspeakable. These are words that you just breathe out, I guess. I don't know. Unspeakable words in heaven unto that. I was thinking into that. Glory of the things of heaven that are so great that Paul cannot even speak. Words don't even begin to express, I think, what he was talking about. Of such a one, he said, that will I glory, yet of myself I will not glory, but in mine infirmities, for though I would desire to glory, I shall not be a fool, for I will say the truth. But now I forbear lest any man should think of me above that which he seeth me to be, or that he heareth me. At least I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelation. There was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan, to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For the things I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon thee. Therefore, I take pleasure. Now listen, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake, for when I am weak, then am I strong. And when you look at if Paul, the things that he endured as a child of God and the things that you and I go through will not even come close to matching what Paul went through. And as a Christian, the easy thing to do is to quit. But the right thing to do is to keep on going. So I would encourage you tonight, though you're going to be faced with some issues, though you're going to be faced with trouble, though you're going to have to, the devil are chasing you every day, that you're going to go through some persecutions and afflictions. Stay faithful to God. Don't give up. Endure hardness, Timothy, as a good soldier. Don't quit, Timothy. I need you. You're needed in the ministry. You're needed in church. You may not think so, Ella. You may not think so, Josh. You may not think so, young people. You're needed. What a blessing these young people have been here. And I sat there and just listened to them sing and And boy, I tell you, I thank God that you got young people that's willing to stand up and to practice. They've been practicing. They didn't come up with those things. They have to practice. And they're willing to give up their time to practice into that. If you're not careful, it's easy to quit when you're triumphant. Now, you've accomplished this something. You made the stage. You've been able to sing. And you got people say, boy, I want you to know, those young people, they really bless my soul and bless my heart. And now, you're not careful. Triumph. You get to, boy, I won a victory here. People like what I'm doing. Now, listen, always give God the credit onto that. Don't get puffed up. And to think that, I can just do what I want to now and sing. I don't have to practice. I don't have to get, I can get up there and say anything. Now, you're not up to where I'm at yet. When you get to where I am, you can do that. But you guys, you got to keep it going. Keep it improving. Keep it singing. Keep it practicing. And don't let that, don't quit. Don't quit. Now, what if somebody comes by and says, well, and they will. Just give them time. Somebody come by and say, well, I could have done better. I believe that I could play a guitar better than Ella Grace could. I know I could play the piano better than Olivia. Criticism. Got to be careful that you don't let somebody else rob you of a victory. And into that, to where that it's easy, be easy to quit. Don't quit when things go wrong. That they sometimes will when the road you're crossing seems all uphill, when the funds are low and the debts are high, and you try to smile but you have to sigh, when cares are pressing you down a bit, rest if you must, but don't just quit. Life is queer with its twists and turns, as every one of us sometimes learns, and many a failure turns about. When he might have won, had he stuck it out. Don't give up, though the pace seems slow. You may succeed with your next blow. Success is failure turned inside out. The silver tint of the cloud of doubt, and you never can tell how close you are. It may be nearer when it seems so far. So stick to the fight. When you're the hardest hit, it's when these things seem worst that you must not quit. It's just say it's easier to smash something than to build something, isn't it? It's easier to tear something up than it is to build. It ought to be that we're in the building. It ought to be that it's easier to destroy a home than to build a home. It's the proverb said that we said on Wednesday night, every wise woman buildeth her house, but the foolish plucketh it down with her hands. A brawling woman is like a falling rain in a house. You ladies, be careful that you don't get into nagging and all the time harping. I had to recall back into that the time that this couple that got into the bus ministry. And the wife before the guy got saved. Oh, preacher, how good it would be if he would just get saved. Would you witness to him and try to get him to trust the Lord? And then we did. And he made a profession of faith. He trusted the Lord. He got baptized. And boy, got into the bus ministry. And he running a bus and doing great in it. The bus running a full bus. And what happened? She got nagging. Well, you're gone every Saturday. You have to go out on visitation, and you ought to be home with me and the kids. He got week after week, finally it broke him down. And finally came in through his bus route in and said, I quit. He said, I cannot continue with my wife a nagging and complaining and accusing me every time that I go out. And he left, never did go back to church. Now, you got to be careful. It's easier to tear something down than it is to build it up.
Right.
And I say this to you today, into that, a fit of temper oftentimes can bring such a cloud of darkness in a home. Into that all the time, complaining. And all the time, getting mad and getting upset. Do you do that, Jimmy? No, sir. On that, and so falling into temptation. What about that? I I never will forget in one church that I pastored, and this lady I thought was such a good woman, good to love the Lord. My goodness, somebody said, "Boy, there's could you pick me out a godly woman?" I'd say that woman right there. She loves the Lord. She is willing to do whatever that you ask her to do. Till I heard her gossiping one day. I heard that she was talking about somebody. Now, not only women do this, but men do it as well. You be careful about your gossiping. Be careful about talking about somebody. It's awful. It's easy to talk about somebody than not to, isn't it? And so I say to you, that it's easier to destroy your holiness than it is to build it. And I've never worked with Miss Martin over in Church of Pastor in Lexington. Miss Martin was from the eastern part up around Prestonburg. Godly woman she was. And I thought much of her on that. And she said, "Preacher, I want to tell you something now." She said, "If they bring a bone, they'll take a bone." What was she saying? If they bring a complaint, a criticism of someone, they're going to take some to someone else about you. If they come talking to you about someone, they're going to talk to somebody else about you. If they bring a bone, they'll take a bone. So I would say to you, be careful. It's into that. It's easier to be in the demolition crew than in the construction crew. So be critical questioning. Well, and oftentimes we see it around and out. You go to that, I don't like to hear somebody be, you know, critical of some things. But it's easy to be critical than it is to be positive. Can I say something to you tonight that you will find, whether it applies to you at work, in your home, with your buddies, it's always best to be positive than it is to be critical. Critical never built nothing. It always tears down. Being positive and to be able to build up and to be in the construction crew, and that it's easier to seek things for yourself than to seek things for others. I thought on this as I was thinking on this message. And I thought of some of the ladies in our church that you probably don't know a whole lot about. I thought of Kathy. Tuesday, I go out on visitation. She makes a bunch of cookies and we take out. Nobody asks her to do it. I go to play around to some of the older people and have people say, "Well, preacher, Miss Kay's been by. And she dropped this off or dropped that off." And it sure had been a blessing. Just a week before Joyce Jenkins passed away, talking to her on the telephone, and she was telling me how that she had become acquainted with one of the members of our church that she knew very closely, though she had never seen her. She said, "Every week I get a card from Miss Susan Kettler." She said, "I've grown to love her. The notes that she says in there has been so encouraging to me." These are little things that it's easier sometimes to seek things for yourself than it is for others. I no wonder Carol is sick. I cause her more nerves and problems of having her to do work that you never think that she does. She don't do a whole lot. She could do a whole lot more, but if I have any vehicle registration, and we have 8 or 10 vehicles out here, she gets all the problems of getting them registered and paying for them and all of that. If I have anything personal, she takes mine and that. Little things. What I'm saying is, not, and I'm just naming these, there are so many more others of you that do things for others. But you find that it's easier to, and it's more helpful if you do things for others than you do for yourself. And so I think that Paul said in Ephesians 4, "Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands, the things which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth." It takes more labor to give to others. It takes time, and it takes work and effort. And so I say to you tonight, here, it takes more listening. If we would listen, to find out what the need of people is. And you get so discouraged. Oftentimes, I was looking this morning and talking. We had a fellow that we had helped this week. And, yeah, preacher, yesterday I had to make two trips to across town just to get the guy something to eat. And I had to call others to find out where some stuff, food was at and some stuff. And, oh, yeah, well, I'll be there today. He didn't show up. Into that, but sometimes it takes time. It takes you have to love to help somebody, and if you don't, that oftentimes you have to pray, Lord, give me a bigger heart. I don't know, Lord may sometimes put somebody into your pathway to see what you would do, and into that in helping the poor. The poor you always have. God, one of the things that God likes is to help in those that are poor. I was telling the kids today on it, that growing up, and to that how that our lives as children, and I've told it many times, and that how poor we were, and how that we did not have the things and that other kids had, and how good it was when somebody gave us something to shirt to wear or a pair of shoes to put on. I know what poorness is. I know what it is not to have. I know what it is to take mustard and biscuits to school for dinner, for lunch. I know what it is to not to have some things, but to be able to help someone else when I've got the means to do it, it ought to be that you'd be willing to do it. Sometimes it's easier to let things go. Sometimes it's easier to not to do it and to go ahead and to not do it. So I say tonight that keep in mind that it's easier to speak than it is to listen. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. Someone said that's why you have 2 years in one tongue, that it's double to more to hear than it is to talk. We need to listen more into that. And so tonight, if we need anything here, please let Paul here be reminded of what he's saying to Timothy, and be still and listen. And Timothy, one of the things, preach the word. Read your Bible. And to that, and to the lost, you got to be careful. And so I say tonight here that as Paul in writing to this young preacher, and the things that he warns them, that there is coming a time when you don't listen to sound doctrine. There's coming a time that you're going to have to really be careful. And if it's not, the easiest thing to do is that you're going to quit. I got Demas here that quit. I got some of the others are in Asia. They all have forsaken me. And some of you are right on the verge of quitting. Some of you have found that it's easier to be slowful in your work for the Lord. The day's coming, and I think soon, that, as Paul said, I am now ready to depart. I have finished my course. And a lot of us at this time, kids, if I said 5 years now, what will you be doing? I think Josh said, 5 years now, what do you want? I said, 5 years from now, I'll probably be in heaven. That most of us, a lot of us sitting here tonight, in 5 years, we'll be departed and to be with the Lord, which is far better. What about you? You young people. You're the one that has to keep going. You're the one that has to say, I'm not going to quit. I'm going to keep on. I'm going to continue to serve God. I'm going to continue to look to Him. And I'm going to live for Him and trust Him. Let's stay.